Well, we've been in a summer series all summer long called Refocus. Refocus. And we've been thinking about areas in our lives where we just need to take another look. Maybe we've gotten out of focus with regard to our witness, or maybe our giving, or maybe we're just stuck spiritually in some area of our lives. And so we've been looking at ways to get unstuck, or ways to have a clearer focus. And today, we're going to conclude this series by looking at a very important story in Joshua chapter 14. If you can be turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter 14. Today, as we finish Refocus, we're going to look at an 85-year-old man named Caleb. Caleb is just one of my heroes in Scripture. I love this passage. I love what it has to say to us. I love what it has to say to us today as Christians living in 21st century America. You know, we talk a lot about change in America and trends and things that are happening and how things are going to change over the next several years. Well, here's one for you that you may not have thought about. The aging of America is going to change the way this country looks dramatically. It's already changing it. And so I want you to think about that. There's a number of reasons why this is true. Just listen for a moment to some of these realities. This is going to be true over the coming years in our country. First of all, there are more senior adults today in America than ever before. In fact, back in 2006, there were 37 million people who were 65 and up. By the year 2016, that had jumped to 49.2 million people. By the way, that's 14% of the population. Now, here's the crazy thing. By 2060, that number is going to jump to 98 million people. That means that one out of every four people in this country will be a seasoned citizen. I like to use that term better than senior citizen, because I'm getting closer and closer to that all the time. Now, here's what's even crazier. Because of longevity, people are just living longer. There's better health care, and people are living longer. The number of Americans who are 85 and older is going to continue to increase. Caleb is 85 in this story, by the way. That's why I picked out that number. And it's going to double by 2040. There were 6.4 million Americans at that age in 2016. It'll be 14.6 by the year 2040. Senior adults are living longer than ever before. You know, it used to be in life that you were born, you went to school, you got a job, you worked your career, you retired, and you died. Now, you can live 30 years or more after retiring. And that changes everything. That has all kinds of ramifications. For one, senior adults are going to be working more than ever before. This is already happening in our country. Do you know that 40% of folks ages 55 and up were looking for work back in 2014? 40%. And it's expected to continue to increase fastest among those ages 65 to 74. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, but probably the number one reason that's most obvious is what I just mentioned, because of how long we're living. The fact is you can't work for 40 years and sustain 30 years of retirement. You're just going to have to work longer. Here's a sad stat. Senior adults have one of the highest divorce rates in the United States. I don't know if you knew that or not, but among those who are 65 and older, the divorce rate has tripled since 1990. And here's another kind of sad note in my opinion. Many more senior adults than ever before are cohabitating or living together. In 2000, there were 1.2 million Americans over age 50 who cohabitated. By 2010, that number had jumped to 2.8. And today, more than 40% of the people who cohabitate are over age 50. So a lot of things are changing. Some are good and some are not so good. Senior adults will be spending their time much differently than seasoned citizens in the past, previous generations. Baby boomers. Those baby boomers, they just change everything. They are retiring at a rapid rate. And they just don't think like the typical seasoned citizen. Not only do they remain active, but they tend to think outside the box. Your typical baby boomer, they're not content just to ride around and see the country in a bus. They're going to go see it on a Harley. And they're not necessarily going to check into a nursing home. And not if they can help it. In fact, there's less than 3% live in nursing homes right now. But it's going to look totally different in our country. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. And so I'm thankful for seasoned citizens who have a mindset like Caleb. Now, if you're not at that stage yet in your life, don't tune out on this message. Every one of us can be inspired by Caleb, whether you're 25 or 15 or 45 or 85. But listen, we have some folks that are at this point in their lives, and I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge myself of how I can be more like Caleb. We all need to have this attitude that Caleb has in this story. Now, let me say one more thing, and then we'll get into the passage today. I realize, I don't want you to have any guilt trip in this message. I realize there's some people here today listening to this message. You can't do what you did 25 or 30 years ago. And listen, God is in control of that. You're still a valuable part of our church and our ministry. And you know what? You bless us by your prayer life, by what you can do, what you can give. And you also bless us by your knowledge and your wisdom and what you can share. And you still contribute. You make a difference. But I want you to understand that we all can have the spirit of Caleb. We all can have the spirit of Caleb. I want you to hear his spirit in this story. And so I want you to pick up in chapter 14, and it starts in verse 6, and this is Caleb. And we're going to read through verse 15. The descendants of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, I've got that underlined. I'll explain why in just a moment. But he said to him, this is Caleb speaking, "You know what the Lord promised Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land, and I brought back an honest report. My brothers who went with me caused the people to lose heart, but I followed the Lord my God completely. On that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land where you have set foot will be an inheritance for you and your descendants forever, because you have followed the Lord my God completely.'" I've got that underlined as well. Verse 10, "As you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as he promised. Since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness, here I am today, 85 years old." I love verse 11. "I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out." We're going to talk about that as well. "My strength for battle and for daily tasks is now as it was then." And now I'm going to switch translations on you here in verse 12. I love the King James translation here. But in verse 12, he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Give me this mountain. That's what we want to talk about today, is Caleb's mountain. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the stories that are captured in your word, words, inspiring stories that help us. Lord, we've been talking about refocusing this summer, and sometimes we just get stuck. And we've talked about roadblocks that keep us stuck, but today we're thinking about mountains, challenges, giants, people who stand in the way, or things that stand in the way of us doing and being what you want us to be. Lord, that all of us face that, no matter what our ages are. But Lord, I pray that today we would capture a sense of the spirit of Caleb, who had walked with you for a long time. He'd lived a life of faith, and he was ready, willing, and able to say, "Now give me this mountain." Lord, I pray that we would have a church filled with people who are willing to say that today, whatever their mountain looks like. Give me this mountain. Because we have faith in you, we've been walking with you, and we recognize that there are opportunities that abound when we say, "Give us this mountain." So help me, Holy Spirit, to preach your word today. I pray that what comes out of my lips would be you speaking through me. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear and help us to respond however you challenge us today, however you speak to us today. Help us not to leave here without drawing nearer to you. I love you and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but God loves mountains. God loves mountains. Now, we don't necessarily like mountains because mountains make us uncomfortable. They seem inconquerable. Mountains are just problems or issues or things that stand in front of us that keep us from getting to where we want to go. Mountains can come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes and forms. And you know what? I think too many times as Christians, we just hope or think that maybe we'll just have it easy after we get into the Christian life. You know, anybody can conquer a molehill. God doesn't want us going after molehills. God wants us to go after our mountains. And that's what He's talking about here. God likes for us to live outside of our comfort zone. God likes us to tackle things that we feel inadequate to tackle. You know why He likes that? Because then He can show that He's God. He can show that He's in control. And then He can show what He wants to do in the lives of people around us. So I think that's part of why Caleb says, give me this mountain. Now, let's just do a quick recap and talk about who Caleb is, okay? Probably most of y'all know this, but Caleb first shows up in the book of Numbers. And what he is he's one of 12 spies. He's in Deuteronomy also. He's one of 12 spies that were chosen out of the 12 tribes. Moses picked them. And remember, they're standing outside the promised land, ready to go in. And they scout out the land. And remember, they come back with their report to Moses. And there's 10 guys out of those 12 that give a bad report. What I mean by a bad report is they come back and they say, you know, this is a beautiful land. It would be awesome to live in this promised land. It's wonderful, but there's one problem. There's giants in that land. And these guys are big and they're bad and they're imposing and they've got these walled cities and fortified places and it's just impossible, Moses. There's no way we can do this. But there were two guys that opposed that or gave a contrasting report. And those guys were Joshua and Caleb. And they said, no. We've got to take this land. God is giving us this land. It's time to move. It's time to go. Let's go. Give us this land. That was when he was 40 years old. And he was still a relatively young man. But here he's an old man. He's 85 years old. He's been down the pike a little bit. He's watched as they've wandered for 40 years. And he and Joshua are the only two guys remaining from his generation. There's a lot of things I wish I could see that are in Scripture. And this is one of those scenes I wish I could see. Because here, this 85-year-old man who could have easily faded off into the sunset stands up among this new generation of believers who are ready to cross over into the promised land. And he says, give me this mountain. Now, I'm just kind of imagining what could have happened in this conversation, but you could probably imagine this too. I could imagine Joshua saying, now wait a minute, Caleb, I understand your heart, but you know what? We've got a great spot of land picked out just for you. It's a lush green spot, but it's down here in the valley. And you can go down here in the valley and you can just kick back and take it easy and never have to worry about anything ever again. You and your family, we'll put you in the valley. Caleb says, nothing doing. Give me this mountain. He says, now wait a minute. Maybe we could do something else. We have also conquered these cities. And we've got these great vast cities. And they have these fortified walls. I mean, they are safe. And maybe we could give you a place in one of these cities. And you and your family could live there. And again, you would have it easy. You wouldn't have any problems. You'd be safe. I think that maybe you'd be better off in one of these cities. And Caleb says, no, I don't want the lush green valley. I don't want these fortified cities with the walls. I want my mountain. Give me this mountain. Now, here's where I want to go with this sermon, where I believe God's leading me. I want to talk about four reasons why Caleb said, give me this mountain. If you're taking notes today, if you've got your outline in front of you and you want to take notes, then these are the four reasons. It's going to be your fill in the blank. Four reasons why Caleb and all of us can say, now give me this mountain. First of all, Caleb recognized his opportunity to influence the next generation. He recognized his opportunity to influence the next generation. I already told you that he is one of two remaining adults who were from the previous generation. And these are two men of faith. These are two great leaders. These are guys who have been through the mill, and they've come out still with their faith strong. And they're the only two senior adults left. And can you just imagine this scene? Here's all these young guys. Notice it says in verse 6, the descendants of Judah. And they're all just chomping at the bit. They need a word. They need an example. They need a model of somebody who's faith-filled. And here's Caleb that steps up and says, now give me this mountain. I'd imagine these young guys just erupted with cheers. Just like they kind of did with Brother Keith the other day at the freshman football practice. He was their hero. And I'm sure that those guys just were saying, man, you go, Caleb. You go. You go get that mountain. And you know what? I'm sure those guys, as they celebrated that, also thought in their minds, you know what? I'm going to be just like Caleb. I'm going to live my life by faith. I'm not going to let things discourage me. I'm not going to let other people's reports or opinions change me or challenge me. I'm going to walk with my God. I'm going to live my life for Him, on mission for Him. And you know what? I want my mountain too. If Caleb can have his mountain, I can have mine. And so I think that they're celebrating. And he's influencing these young people. Now, how can you leverage your influence with this younger generation that's coming behind you? That's what I want you to see here. And there's three things I want you to see in this portion of the story that will help us to understand how to leverage our influence with the next generation. The first is this. Caleb never forgot where he came from. He never forgot where he came from. Notice verse 6 again. It talks about how he is the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Why in the world would it put that in there? Why would the reader be concerned about the fact that he's the son of some hard name to say, and he's not even an Israelite? He's a Kenizzite. Well, that's telling us something very important. Caleb was not born an ethnic Jew. He was not born a child of the promise. What that tells me is that, in fact, he was born into a bad situation. You know what his name actually means? His name actually means dog. That means he was born in a pretty bad situation. Yet here he is in this group that Moses led out of Egyptian slavery. What that tells me is there was a time where Caleb had a very life-changing experience. There was a time when Caleb came to know and believe in the one true God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so he had become a believer. He'd become a follower of Yahweh. And he'd never forgotten about that. The grace of God changed his life. Folks, if that's happened to you, then you can be influential to people coming behind you. Tell your story. Live out your story. Never forget where you've come from. I know some of us grew up in church. I grew up in church. But I've never forgotten that Jesus took me and saved me. I was a sinner bound for hell. And he saved me just like he saved that guy out there on the street. All of us are in the same boat. We've all got a story to tell. But then I read on in verses 7 through 9 when he talks about as a 40-year-old. Really, he talks about his walk with Christ, or walk with God. And Caleb never stopped fully following God. You see that? It's mentioned two or three times here. There in verse 8, I followed the Lord my God completely. And then he says it again for good measure a little bit farther down in verse 9. Moses said that of him. You have followed the Lord your God, my God, completely. You see, Caleb's faith was actually forged when he was much younger, when he was a young man. He learned to trust and follow God when he was 40, when he was still young and vibrant. By the way, that's a good message for everybody here today. If you want to have a vibrant faith when you're 85, start following God obediently right now. Start following Him fully and trusting Him fully right now with your finances and your lives and your families and your spiritual life. The best way to live a godly life in your senior years is live a godly life right now, wherever you are. And so, think about Caleb's life. Just, let's do a quick snapshot. Think about the brutality of slavery in Egypt. He might have been whipped and beaten at some point in time, but he never stopped following God. Think about wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. Think about how frustrating that was when you gave a good report and you said, we ought to go on into the land. Think about all of the things that happened to them while they were wandering through the wilderness. But he never stopped following God. He was surrounded by doubters, spent 40 years in the wilderness. He was there when they made the golden calf, but he never stopped following God. He watched all of his loved ones die over those 40 years, but he never stopped following God. That's another message for us today. I preached a funeral message yesterday, and we celebrated the life of a great lady. And that's a similar refrain in her life. She never stopped following God amidst the hardships of her life. And that's a good message for you and I today as well. Never stop following God. If you do that, you're going to have an influence. You're going to influence others around you. You'll influence the next generation. But then there's a third thing I see here. He's interested in his inheritance. He's interested in what God has promised him. Now, some of us may think, why would he be interested in that at 85 years of age? Well, that's the third thing I want to point out that makes Caleb influential among the next generation. Caleb never stopped thinking about the future. He never stopped thinking about the future. And I think a lot of times, for different reasons, some of us, we just stop moving forward. We stop moving forward spiritually in our lives for different reasons. Sometimes it might be because of age or it might be health difficulty. But I think a lot of times as Christians, we're tempted to stop moving forward. Never be that way. I don't want to be that way. Fear can do that. A lot of times we stop moving forward because we're afraid. But we need to be careful and not do that. We need to always be forward thinking. Caleb wanted that inheritance. He wanted that land. He knew he didn't have long on this earth. But he wanted to claim what God had promised him, and he wanted to give it to his descendants. And if we're going to give our faith, if we're going to give what God has done for us to the next generation, we've got to be forward thinking. Let's think about it like this, okay? Think about it like in terms of a car or an automobile, all right? Sometimes we want to put our automobile in reverse. I'll tell you what, sometimes it's necessary to put it in reverse, but I sure would want to drive down the freeway in reverse, would you? I wouldn't want to drive down my cul-de-sac in reverse. I wouldn't want to go anywhere in reverse. But a lot of us want to do that spiritually. We want to live in the good old days. We think back to days maybe when the church was different than it is today. We think back to when the church might have had more of a voice in our society than it does today. We might think back to personal times or memories, maybe when we were saved. I remember that revival. I remember that youth camp. I remember that time when we did this or that or the other. Don't do that. When you're tempted to do that, don't do that. Now listen. Listen to these words. There's nothing wrong with learning from the past. There's nothing wrong with even loving the past. I love the fact that Jesus died for my sins and rose again some 2,000 years ago. So it's nothing wrong with learning from the past or loving the past. But what is wrong is living in the past. Don't live in the past. Do you know Paul didn't want us to live in the past? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. And you know, not only did Paul not want us to live in the past, even Jesus Christ did not want us to live in the past. Jesus was speaking to the disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, and he said what some think are some pretty hard words, but really all he's doing is saying, don't look in the past. Keep looking forward. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now some of you guys who are farmers, you think about that for a moment. If you ever had to plow like they did back in Jesus' day, what would happen if you were looking back all the time, looking over your shoulder? You wouldn't plow a very straight line, would you? You need to focus on something ahead. Whether it was a tree or an object, and you just plow straight ahead. And that's what Jesus is saying here. So we can be tempted to put things in reverse. But here's something that's, I think, even more of a temptation than looking back all the time. And this is something I've got to guard against myself. Think about a car again, in the image of a car. We can be tempted to put it in neutral. To put it in neutral and just coast. Are you ever tempted to do that in your spiritual life? What's sad about this is it can seem like a lot's going on. I mean, it can seem like things are good and you can still be coasting and really not getting anything done. Think about the car illustration for a moment, okay? If you have your car in neutral, you can do a lot of things, right? For one, you can rev up the engine. Rum, rum, and it sounds really mean. And you can maybe even get a lot of smoke coming out of your exhaust. You can turn your headlights on and you can bring light. You can honk your horn and make a lot of noise. But you're really not getting anywhere, are you? Because you're stuck in neutral. And you know, there's a lot of churches today, a lot of places where there's a lot of smoke, a lot of lights, a lot of noise, and they're really not going anywhere. Let's not keep it in neutral. Let's be looking forward. Let's be like that movie Overcomer. In Overcomer, in that movie, and I'm not going to spoil it for you because some of you haven't seen it yet, but it's obviously about a young lady who runs cross country. And I never did run cross country. Running was always punishment for me when I was an athlete in high school. But nevertheless, in cross country, you run for 3 miles. And when you're a cross country runner or a track athlete or anything for that matter, when you get near the finish line, you don't slow down. You speed up. I mean, that's when you really give it your all. And as we see ourselves nearing the finish line, we ought to be like Caleb. We ought to be more in tune with the Lord and thinking, how can I speed up for His kingdom? And that's true of us as individuals. It's true of us as church, as a church. So Caleb never stopped thinking about the future. But then there's something else about Caleb I want you to see today. Caleb recognized that his senior years could be his strongest years. His senior years, or if you want to write seasoned years, you can write that in there, could be his strongest years. Look back with me again at verses 10 and 11. As you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years as He has promised. Now we're going to talk more about that in just a moment because there's something in that that we're going to see in the next point. But I want you to look down a little farther in that. Right before verse 11, He says, here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was the day Moses sent me out. Now let's pause and talk about that just for a second. First of all, I love what Caleb didn't do. I love what he didn't do right there. You know, he could have said, I'm 85. When I was 40, I drove the church van. When I was 40, I taught a Sunday school class. When I was 40 years old, I worked in vacation Bible school. But you know what? I'm 85 now. My time has come and gone. I don't necessarily need to do that. It's time for these young people to step up and do some things. He didn't say that. Now listen, I'm not saying that it's the same. I'm not saying you have the same stamina or strength you did before, but find what God has for you to do today. In fact, your retirement years are not a time to sit around and do nothing. I'm not saying that you can't relax and enjoy your retirement years, but you ought to find where God wants you to serve in this time. Caleb found his place. This is no time for you to drop out or me to drop out, not in this season of our lives. Now, what does he mean when he says, I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago? Now, first of all, I don't think he's necessarily talking about physical strength. Okay? I don't think he'd say, boys, watch this. I can bench press just as much now as I could when I was 30 years old. He's not talking about physical strength. He's talking about spiritual strength. Look back with me in the text again. Back in verse 11, he says, my strength for battle and for daily tasks is now as it was then. So what he's talking about here is that God is growing him and strengthening him spiritually. Here's what I know about our senior years or our seasoned years. We can be stronger spiritually. How can we be stronger spiritually? Because we've walked for a long time with the Lord. We've walked with Him. We've been with Him. We've spent our years trusting Him and watching Him, helping us through these situations. And again, it may not look like it did, but our strongest years can be these years when we have had years of experience with Christ. Like it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul wrote these words. He said, therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. That's why you're stronger at 85 or as strong, because your inner man, your inner spiritual person is being renewed daily. Yes, we have physical limitations. Yes, it may look different, but never retire from serving Jesus. In fact, your retirement from work can actually open up opportunities to serve the Lord, because we can be wiser spiritually. We can be wiser spiritually. You see, many times in our senior years, we have wisdom and experience from drawing on a lifetime of experiences. I know more now than I knew when I was 18. I wish that I knew half of what I knew back then at that time. I know more now about life in general. I'm in a position where I can counsel better now than I could when I was in my 20s. And so I have wisdom. Oftentimes we have more financial resources now or in our later season in our lives. Now, that's another a little tip for those who are not in that season yet. You need to begin saving for retirement now. You need to live your life wisely now, invest wisely. And if you put that money away now, you can put it away for eternal things later. And the person who doesn't plan for retirement, they're not going to be ready to do this. But you can be a blessing in that way when you come to this life. But here's the main point he's trying to make. We can be deeper spiritually. We can be deeper spiritually. You see, the full life you're looking for, Caleb knew this by this point in his life, isn't found in the rat race. It isn't found in material things. It isn't found in social status. It's found in a deep, abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our peace comes. That's where our joy comes from. And so that's what he's getting at. That's why he can say, I'm as strong now, strong for the daily task and daily battle, as I was 45 years ago. Reminds me of a story that John Marshall told. John Marshall was the longtime pastor of Second Baptist Church in Springfield. And John was observing something during one of his messages about how sunsets. Did you ever think about the fact that God made things, God designed everything in this world, in this universe, and he designed it in such a way so that we get to experience sunsets. The sun, the earth rotates around the sun, and we revolve in a 24-hour period to where every day we get to enjoy sunsets. You know, God could have designed it where it just turns off and on like a light switch. He can do anything he wants to do. This is what John Marshall was saying, but he designed it so that we get to see sunsets. And you know the most beautiful time of the day, often the most photographed time of the day, you go to a beach somewhere, like on the West Coast where the sun's setting in the West Coast, people are out there every night with their cameras, telephoto lenses, they're taking pictures of the sunset. Why? Because it's often the most beautiful time of the day. And then John Marshall said, may we live in such a way that our sunset years are the most beautiful years for Jesus. Isn't that awesome? We can live our lives in such a way that our sunset years can be the most beautiful years for Jesus. Third thing I want to say today, as we look through this passage, Caleb recognized that giants are always around, but God has the last word. These giants are all around us, but God has the last word. You see, there's a lot of people that think, boy, when I get older, I'm going to be on easy street. Boy, when I don't have to go to work in the morning, or boy, when I get these kids raised or out of the house or get them out of school and they're graduated, they get a job, or whatever the situation is, when I get past this situation, it's going to be easy street. It'll be smooth sailing. You know what? That is wrong-headed thinking, because there are always going to be giants. There's always going to be issues. There's always going to be situations in our lives, problems and challenges that come in all shapes and sizes. And yet here's Caleb strong. Here's Caleb confident. He's not about to back down from his giants. I want you to look back in the text again, still in 11 and 12. Verse 12, again in my text it says, now give me this hill country, but give me this mountain the Lord promised, because you heard then that the Anakim are there. These are these giants that live in these large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out, as the Lord promised. Now, perhaps is probably maybe not the best word to use there, because really what he's saying there is, I have total confidence. I had confidence in God when I was 40. I have confidence in God now as I'm 85 years old, that God is with me. He's going to do exactly what he says. These giants, these challenges, I don't know for sure how I'm going to take care of them, but I know God's going to get me through. I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to keep taking steps towards my mountain because I can trust God by faith. And so where did Caleb's confidence come from? Where did he get that kind of confidence? Two places. First of all, his confidence came from his view of God. His view of God. You see, when Caleb was 40 years old, he saw God while other people saw giants. And now at 85 years of age, he sees God when other people see giants. And so I've just got to ask you today, if you're struggling with fear, or struggling with these mountains in front of you, how big is your God? How big is your God? It may be that your view of God is too small. No matter what your age, your view of God may be too small. In fact, I heard a sermon one time by a guy named Ed Litton, and he made a few things. I think you'll like this. that I want to share today, a quote or two about how you can know if your God is too small. I want you to listen to these. If God's job description in your mind is to make you comfortable, your God's too small. If your God says, don't take a risk, play it safe, then your God's too small. If your God lives to obey your every whim, desire, and command, your God is too small. If your God never wrecks your schedule or messes up your plans, I'm afraid your God is too small. If your God never stuns you with something great for you or a task that is far beyond you, tell you what, your God is too small. Now it's going to get personal. If your God has a plan for retirement so that you can relax for the next 20 to 30 years of your life, your God is too small. Here's another one. If your God says you're too old, too young, too poor, too rich, too fat, too skinny, too late, or too early, guess what? Your God is too small. He finally closes by saying, if your God fits neatly in a box that you control and hold the key to, then your God is too small. You see, Caleb had discovered that his God is big enough. Christ is enough for me. But the other thing that that gives him confidence, it came from his history with God. His history with God. You see, faith is not positive thinking. It's not optimism, sunny side up. Faith is actually action. It's stepping out in action. It's actually stepping out and believing that God is going to do what he says. He'd been doing that for 45 years. He had a history to draw on. And you know what? Some of you, you've forgotten your history with God. You've forgotten that God's been with you. He was with you when you struggled at 20. He was with you when you had those deals and that crisis at 45. He was with you in your 50s. And he's with you today, walking with you through the trials of life. Chuck Swindoll said it this way. He said, vision is the ability to see God's presence, to perceive God's power, to focus on God's plan in spite of obstacles. In spite of obstacles. That's what Caleb did. So Caleb finally recognized the fourth and final thing. He recognized the fact that God still had a mountain for him to conquer. God still had a mountain for him to conquer. That's in verses 13 to 15. Look with me in that real quickly. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron still belongs to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, as an inheritance today because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, completely. So, no matter what our age, there's something that God has for us to do. It's like Tom Eliff said. Tom Eliff is another one of my favorite pastors. He's from Oklahoma. He said, the Lord hasn't called us to be settlers. He's called us to be pioneers. I don't want to be a settler. I don't want to settle. I want to continue to be a trailblazer. We're never too old to conquer a mountain. No matter what our age, there's something God wants us to do. Bill Bright was a hero of mine. He was a founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's called CRU. And I got to hear Bill Bright speak near the end of his life. He was struggling to breathe on oxygen, but he got up and shared at a conference I was at one time. And I'll never forget some words he said. He said, many people feel that their work is finished, that there is nothing left to be accomplished. Some feel that there is no future for themselves. He says, your loving Heavenly Father has not forgotten or given up on you. He knows who you are, where you are, how you are, and what you are doing. And He still has work for you to do. And I love this line. This is my favorite line of all. He says, whether you have 20 years left, 10 years, 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, or just 1 hour, there is something very important that God wants to do that can add to His kingdom and your blessing. Christians never retire from being servants of our great Creator God and Savior. He talks about if you feel useless, that's not coming from God. That's coming from the enemy. And so, here's what I want to say to you today. What is your mountain? What mountain in your life does God want you to conquer for His glory? God is glorified. God gets the glory. God's the only one that can do this. But it could be a mountain that is a relationship that needs to be restored. It could be a family member. It could be a neighbor. We've talked about who's your one. It could be a health situation. It could be something in your own life, a besetting sin. Don't stop fighting against sin. I know that we struggle with sin our whole lives, but don't stop. I don't know what it is, but are you willing to say today like Caleb, God, give me this mountain. Give me my mountain. Maybe it's a prayer burden. Maybe it's a mission trip. God, would you give me this mountain? I love the passion of Caleb. You know, I love the passion of somebody who's a real life Caleb to me as well. And his name is Harold Yeager. And most of you guys know who Harold is. Some of you don't know who he is. Harold was a longtime member of this church. And Harold was a seasoned citizen when I arrived here 9 years ago. And my introduction to Harold, the Hillcrest Movers came and moved me from my house in Richland to the parsonage over here behind the church. And it was incredible to see them work. I mean, they really are something else. But they were basically unloading things, assembly line, off the truck into the parsonage. And I turned with something that was fairly heavy, and I bumped into this guy. There he is, Harold. And I'm thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't hand this to him. And he stepped forward. He said, Pastor, give me this box. And that wasn't the only thing he asked for. Harold never missed church, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He was there on Wednesday night. Harold was there on visitation. I don't know a man who did more visiting than Harold Yeager. Harold was there at VBS, and later when we started Awana, he was there with Awana. He wanted to pour into the next generation. Harold was there and never missed a beat when his house burned to the ground here in Lebanon, and he had to move to Kansas City. Lived in Raytown. Still lives in Raytown today. Harold is still going strong. Harold got involved in a church there at Raytown, and you know what? He started doing the same thing there he was doing here. And one day he was out distributing VBS literature or VBS flyers in his neighborhood, and he was hit by a car. And you know what? That didn't end his life. He's still alive. He's still going strong. His wife, dear wife, Mary Esther, passed away a few years ago. And I saw him not too long ago, and he's still serving. He's still fighting. He's got the spirit of Caleb in him. And we all need that spirit. And again, it looks different for all of us. But I want every person here today to think about, what's your mountain? Can you, like Caleb, say, now give me this mountain? One more mountain I want to talk about, and then I am truly finished today. It's a mountain called Calvary. You know what? Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, he said to God the Father, give me this mountain. And it was Mount Calvary. And he was willing to go to Mount Calvary and be nailed to a cross and bleed and suffer and die and take our sins upon himself so that we could be saved. And Jesus did that so that you and I could have life and new life and life more abundant, and we could live like Caleb. And it may be that there's somebody here today, you've never been saved. You've never trusted Christ. Christ has taken your mountain of sin upon himself. He's taken all of our sins and he's dealt with them on the cross and removed them so that we could have a new life. We could be forgiven and we could be saved. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you trust him today? All you have to do is take a step in your heart and believe in your heart and speak with your mouth that you believe Jesus. You believe that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And you can have that assurance today. You can pray with me right at this altar today. But Jesus wants to save you. He wants to change your life. He wants your life to be filled with hope and meaning and purpose. And he wants you to have the kind of life where you say, give me this mountain for his glory. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer right now? Father, I thank you for this wonderful story in the Word of God. And you know what? Sometimes we do need to refocus as we go through the natural process of aging in life, and life changes and things become more uncertain. We become maybe more unsteady. We can still have the spirit of Caleb inside of us. Lord, we need to have that spirit in us when we're 20, when we're 40, and when we're 80. And I pray that each one of us in this church would. If we would have the spirit of Caleb, we could turn this community upside down. We could go into the world and we could make disciples. We could bring glory to your name and honor to your name. But the truth of the matter is the enemy doesn't want us to think like Caleb. He wants us to be filled with fear. He wants us to be afraid of change. And Lord, I recognize that what we do and are will never change in this church. And why we do what we do will never change in this church. But sometimes we need to examine about how we do things. And if we can do it differently to reach a new generation or in ways that are more effective, then we need to examine that. So help us, Lord. Help us to be like Caleb. Help us to have a heart for your glory and to have a heart for those who are still around us. And also, Lord, to not be afraid of things that challenge us. Be confident in you and to recognize that you've given us inner strength no matter what season of life we're in. And so when we have that, Lord, we can say, give us our mountain. Lord, I just pray that people today would take their next steps toward you, whatever that looks like. If somebody needs to join this church, I pray that they'd come forward today. If somebody needs to be saved, I pray that they would come forward. Lord, if somebody just needs to pray at this altar about a need that they have, I pray that they wouldn't be afraid to do that. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.